Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with your host, executive editor of Newsbusters, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome to a highlight of human infrastructure, the Newsbusters podcast. We go around here secure in the knowledge that we are uncool. The New York Times has this business article about 37-year-old bosses in the workplace who are filled with dread because the 23-year-olds think they're uncool. They think my emojis are passé. We are so uncool here at Newsbusters that if we use an emoji, we are confident that it is passé. We define passé. Trying to be cool and hip is just exhausting. And you're just ultimately going to lose if that's what you're trying to do. I mean, so we just lean into the passé. This is a group of people here at Newsbusters who organized a trip to go see the Washington Nationals on Calvin Coolidge bobblehead night. That's who we are. And it was rained out, but we all have our Calvin Coolidge bobbleheads. Before we get to our interview today, we must report that MRC TV has a viral video being shared all over Twitter. All the blue checks are sharing this video. Shared because it's outrageous. Shared, to be blunt, because it is racist. Rutgers employs a professor named Brittany Cooper. She gave an interview to the website The Root. What kind of website is that? Their motto is, the blacker the content, the sweeter the truth. Well, that fits. Because Brittany Cooper thinks all the white people are horrible and domineering, and the world would be a better place without the white people. She said white people are committed to being villains.
I think that white people are committed to being villains in the aggregate, right?
My producer, my boy Ben, edited this video making the Twitter rounds. Ben, are you committed to being a villain? I've certainly never committed to being a villain. Not even at Halloween. Nothing tends to grind the gears of my son than when you tell him that as a white male, he's somehow responsible for 400 years of African-American oppression or slavery. When he was a kid, unlike me, he had Latino friends, Indian friends, black friends. You know, growing up in Northern Virginia, that's what you have. I grew up in Wisconsin. I had a black classmate for the first time, like my junior year in high school, somewhere in there. So, I mean, just because that's the way you grow up, whichever way, doesn't mean that you're automatically part of an oppressive power structure. Ben would tend to say to people, to a black peer, you know, I've never held a whip and you've never been in chains. And that's where I think a lot of people get upset with this notion of being guilty just by your skin color. It's one thing to be appalled that we had slavery. Everybody should be able to be appalled by that. It's another to blame the millennials for it. Isn't it bad enough that their emojis are uncool? They shouldn't have enabling slavery added to their uncool list. But in the world of The Root, a website once founded by Professor Henry Louis Gates and The Washington Post, they don't own it now. At The Root, all white people conspire to dominate society and somehow keep down the tenured professors of Africana studies at Rutgers. But then angry Brittany starts talking about taking out the white mofos. She doesn't mean taking them out to the movies.
The thing I want to say to you is we got to take these motherfuckers out. But I know, but like, we can't say that, right? We can't say, like, I don't believe in a project of violence. I truly don't. Because I think in the end that our souls suffer from that.
Well, breathe easy. She doesn't want to kill the white people. Or she thinks she can't say she wants to. She merely wishes we were all dead. I think we can guess that anyone who talked about taking out all the black mofos would be seen as a horrible racist. And that's what this woman is. Somehow being white is being guilty of everything. We can bring this back around to Newsbusters. Brittany Cooper has a page at Newsbusters, a topic page. She's been blessed to spew her rhetoric on MSNBC. Curtis Houck has the weirdest article of the bunch, where Cooper was upset that a police officer in Columbus, Ohio, shot a black girl, Makia Bryant. She was about to stab another black girl. Stopping her was racist. Cooper said the girl's death was proof, quote, that black people have to be perfect in order for them to deserve dignity, unquote, from police. And that this girl was shot because she wasn't being perfect. She was being shot for, quote unquote, having a bad day. Okay, then. Talk about a situation where a policeman can't possibly do the right thing. Fun fact, Professor Brittany Cooper recently donated $250 to Senator Raphael Warnock, the Jeremiah Wright of Georgia. How nice. What a nice match. My latest column is on the Associated Press panic over Terry McAuliffe having the stink of defeat on him before the polls close. The latest one from Fox had Glenn Youngkin up 8 points, if you can believe it. The McAuliffe campaign is certainly campaigning like they believe it. The AP headline over a Steve Peoples article was, Biden easily won Virginia. Why is McAuliffe struggling? Is this really a brain teaser? But you got to kind of enjoy the idea. With the sentence, the finger pointing and hand wringing has begun. Dan Balls over at the Washington Post suggested that even if McAuliffe narrowly wins, the Democrats are going to be upset. This is where we are right now. We are somehow in a Democrat unfriendly political space. Our guest in the Newsbusters podcast is Brad Slager. You can find him at Red State and Town Hall. And he's on Twitter at the handle Martini Shark. He has a daily feature at Town Hall called Riff from the Headlines that's beyond a paywall at Town Hall. It's so great. So pony up. We're going to focus today on one of our favorite subjects, those so-called independent fact checkers. Brad did a piece over at Red State after the CNN Biden Town Hall slash Kissy Kissy event. The headline is, the truth mavens support Biden's farce on the border visit are okay with a white power salute. Now, there is a phrase in here, Brad. You use the phrase Viscounts of Verite. And I'm on my phone and I'm trying to tweet out this article and picking up Viscounts of Verite. And it kept changing Viscounts to discounts.
Well, yes. So you had Apple Plus and...
I just gave up.
Fact checking.
I know you can override the spell check or whatever, and I'm like, screw it. I'm lazy. I'm old. I'll just tweet it another way. Welcome. Let's talk about that for a minute. Let's start with the OK sign. I mean, that's one of those things where isn't this the kind of issue where you just sense the cheapness? Of the way that the fact-checking game is played. Like, it depends on who's showing the okay. It's okay if it's Biden or Buckwheat.
Well, that's part of it. I mean, when the fact-checkers came out with this, one of the first reactions you saw on social media was people saying, really, this is what you're fact-checking? Mm-hmm. But I think that gives away their game a bit. Not just that they're doing the double standard, which is, you know, for years, this same press said the OK sign was racist. Now suddenly it's not because they've decided so. And I chuckled earlier when you said independent fact checkers. In my column, you know, they covered two specific aspects of his town hall. Four different fact check outlets jumped to Biden's defense. So as far as them being independent, they're all clearly on the same team and pushing the same narrative.
Yeah, it's like it's like they're all. You wonder whether they're coordinating or texting each other because when they all pick the same thing, it's like being in the White House press corps. They're all like, "What's our narrative tonight?"
Yeah, and it, well, I'm kind of torn even on that, because sometimes I think, yeah, maybe they do email each other, but a lot of times it just feels like they are on the same page from Jump Street, so they don't really need to coordinate too much.
Yeah, I feel like on a subject like this one in particular, which is just it's sort of a trolling point, you could argue, for conservatives to go, oh, he used the racist okay sign. That's just our way of picking on them. Because it was so lame that they tried to say it was a racist sign, just like, well, you can't wear a Hawaiian shirt anymore, or you're Boogaloo. But if Biden wore a Hawaiian shirt, they'd do a fact check saying that was okay. Here's the Reuters fact check. You had this in your article. U.S. President Joe Biden's hand gesture at a CNN town hall in Baltimore did not indicate white power, contrary to claims on social media. Yep, that's the conservatives. He made the hand gesture while saying corporations pay 0 cents in response to a question about tax rates. Well, shouldn't Joe Biden be savvy enough not to use that gesture to mean zero?
Yeah, and here's exactly where they defy their own standard, because as I pointed in the article, it was in April where a contestant on Jeopardy was being accused all over the internet of white supremacy because he held up three fingers. He did so to indicate he won the game three times. So he used it as a number, and he was a racist. But when Joe Biden uses it as a number, oh no, he's just indicating zero. And it's very calm, and you people are overreacting. But no, they were applying the media standard from just months earlier. They can't even keep their own narrative straight, because it always changes, it always shifts, and they have to drive the narrative. And the biggest exposure in all this, though, is the ridiculousness of this fact check. Biden's town hall was so filled with nonsense and garbage. I think you pointed out in a column too how Anderson Cooper carried him through the whole process. There was no shortage of things for them to fact check in this town hall, and this is what they focus on. It allows them to basically distract themselves from doing their actual job.
Yeah, I mean, this is the closest Biden's getting right now to a press conference. And instead of it being reporters who might have some sort of professional pride occasionally in trying to ask a tough question, CNN's questions to Biden were all scientifically pre-screened and garbled down to be, Sir, what are you doing to help us? And then Cooper was there to help him not misspeak. And so, yeah, this, I compared it to bowling for children, where you put the bumpers in the gutters. And that's where we are. But I would look at this as an opportunity for the fact checkers. And you failed the test, which is, yeah, why don't you actually evaluate what came out of his mouth and not tweets about him?
Well, I think it's just a sign that their indicated reaction to anything involving Biden is generally defensive. We've been seeing this for 9 months now. They just start from defense. And then you had a great piece regarding Glenn Kessler, where he said numerous times over he had every opportunity to fact check Biden and just begged off of it. Oh, I'm too busy. Oh, you know, he misspoke, so we'll let Terry McAuliffe off the hook in the same fashion. And for McAuliffe, I think he did it four times within a span of a week or two. This just indicates that you have to pull them into the fact check of these Democrats,
yeah,
against their will. They just refuse to do so on a point-by-point basis. It pretty much has to get to the point where so many people are like, Glenn, are you going to do your job here? And then he finally does.
Yeah,
it's just a patent ridiculous method they have. If an anonymous person on Twitter criticizes Biden, they jump at it immediately and put a stop to it. But Terry McAuliffe and Biden, they can just spew these things out on a weekly basis, and they hope they'll get around to getting it correct.
Yeah, it was very kind of honest of Glenn Kessler to say, he said this and I passed. Then he said this and I passed. And then he said this and I passed again. Basically because he was in contact with the McAuliffe people who kept telling him, oh, well, he just misspoke. Well, yeah. So apparently the fact check standard isn't whether it's factual or not. It's whether you meant to lie. So at least that's the Democrat standard. And I think that he only did it finally because it was getting embarrassing. And you wonder about the targeting here. I have to think that Kessler is the head of the fact checker shop, but he's not head of the political division at the Washington Post. There has to be some sort of flying it up the flagpole. And he probably had an editor saying, not yet. You know, he's not the only one that made this decision, I'm going to guess, because it's embarrassing for you. Now, maybe he has to say this in his fact check that I decided not to do it three times because he knows that the Washington Post readership are a pile of Democrats who don't want you checking the Democrats. But obviously, yeah, McAuliffe was so mangling the math about COVID and kids. I mean, it was just not even close. And that's, I think, what sort of shamed him into it. I want to go to the other thing that came from this that you mentioned in your article at Red State, the whole notion of why hasn't Biden been to the border? I think the question specifically was, why hasn't Biden been to the border since he was inaugurated? But Fox News, Peter Doocy and the gang went back and said, we can't find an example of Biden visiting the southern border. And then, so Kessler does a fact check on this, but it goes unrated. This is what happens with Democrats. You know, most of the time, he had to give Terry McAuliffe four Pinocchios, I guess, for passing on it three times. But get a load of the fact check, Biden at the border. Kessler begins, Biden, a former chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, is justifiably proud of his long record of traveling overseas and meeting with foreign leaders. When he was running for vice president 2008 against then-Governor Sarah Palin, a foreign policy neophyte, Biden's Senate office released a self-described partial list of leaders Biden had met with, totaling about 150 names from nearly 60 countries, territories, and international organizations. This, of course, has absolutely zero to do with the subject matter. But that's him piling up for the next sentence. Despite that long history, we cannot find evidence Biden at one point made a visit to the southern border.
Exactly. So, you know, he's been doing his job. We just can't find this evidence, but give him credit anyway. You know, and Daniel Dale did this. Basically, all they're doing here is echoing the message that came from Jen Psaki.
Yeah.
And that was, well, you know, on a campaign stop, they drove in that area with the motorcade. Okay, so 13 years ago, they were in the same zip code as the border. That counts. But the two obvious things is that there's a crisis going on now. And the question he was asked did specify this year. The question started out is that given that it's been nearly a year into your presidential campaign, why haven't you gone to the border? Well, he was there 13 years ago, and this is good enough for the fact checkers. It's amusing to watch the desperation.
And even the vice president, when she quote unquote went to the border, you know, didn't go to the border. She went to some border patrol office. And in a part of Texas that really wasn't where people were rushing across the border. They all know that this, on some level, is an optics question. They know that. And that's one of the reasons why they get mad, because Kessler was like, Republicans and Fox News are harping on this. Yeah. And it is an optics question. And it's also, you need to focus on this question. And you can tell, this is the way Kessler ends this particular fact check. Whether the president has ever visited the border or will is a bit of a gotcha question. Oh, really? Given the level of briefings the president receives, a visit may not necessarily add to his body of knowledge. Okay.
that's a definite Republican pounce variation right there. Because, the press and the left never engage in gotcha questions. I mean, you got a prime example right here, too, of how they play the game, because one of Brian Stelter's favorite games is what Fox News is not reporting on.
Yeah.
And he always claims that they don't break news like other real news outlets. Well, Fox has been unleashing a ton of stories from the border that no other outlet is touching. Disproving that right there. I mean, he's the one in his network that don't want to touch the border. And these fact checks just back up that very behavior. They just want to downplay it. Biden's doing enough. It's not a big deal. These Republicans and conservative news outlets are the ones making this into a crisis. And they just keep going with this narrative as this gets worse and worse.
Well, and we've tried to suggest that the nature of fact checking is really, I mean, there, you know, the PolitiFact started as a project of the Tampa Bay Times. The Washington Post is a fact. Their fact checks part of the Washington Post. AP, Reuters, CNN, these are all media outlets. And just the way that the media outlets use their polls and pollsters to set narratives, they also use their fact checkers in this sort of a way. So you're exactly right. This definition of news, what they're trying to say is, Stelter and Oliver Darcy are always saying this, whatever Fox thinks is news is actually right-wing propaganda and garbage. And whatever CNN thinks is news, even if it's Trump had two scoops of ice cream when everyone else got one, all of their news is golden. It's all Pulitzer Prize, Emmy-winning material. You know, but Kessler knows this is optical because his last sentence was, the Biden White House has certainly taken pains to not suggest the border surge is a crisis, which a presidential visit would suggest. So they all know this. And they all know it's incredibly lame to say, well, he hasn't been to the border to assess the crisis. He did drive by it once. That's like saying, I've been to Colorado when I was in the airport for 2 hours. It's
right.
Everybody knows that's a lame answer. The whole point of this is then they try to say, well, nobody's going to show this exchange except Peter Ducey and Fox and Twitter, conservative Twitter. So we don't have to worry about it. You know, if you look at, if you ask yourself the question, which Jen Psaki soundbites are they going to pick? They aren't picking the embarrassing ones.
No, no, you're not going to hear Ducey's questions and answers get repeated throughout the media cycle. That's a given because her stumbling and her spinning doesn't make for good audio and video. So they're never going to touch on that. It is comical though, too, because one of the things I'm doing in my column, I'm ramping up now, is on a regular basis showing what the fact checkers are covering instead of the real meat stories. And just in the last week or two, these are some of the fact checks across the spectrum. AP did one about car seats being left in public parking lots for sex traffic luring. That's not true, they say. USA Today just did one about a photo of Pete Buttigieg wearing an artificial breastfeeding device for his newborn.
That one's a classic. Photo,
that was false, though. That wasn't a real picture.
Yeah, he wasn't really breastfeeding. This is one of those, though, Brad, where, and I want to hear the rest of this list. Who's going to buy that? Who actually believes that that's not funny?
I really think they're to the point now where they're almost justifying their job. You know, it's almost like look busy kind of work. Like, oh, no, we did three fact checks yesterday. Sure, one of them was you can't take an empty candle vase to Bed Bath & Beyond and get a free candle for it. Wow, fantastic, guys. Thanks for that.
I usually, Snopes is the one I love to pick on where they have these fact checks about space aliens and what's on Starbucks mugs.
There was a map that came out, and they wanted to clarify. It was not accurate that the state of Tennessee finds actor Kevin James to be sexy. I'm so just totally enervated politically because of that fact check. Thank you, folks. And this is the game they play, though. They just, you know, put these out. You know, I've got a personal experience with AP fact check, by the way.
Okay.
I went through this. I have a parody Twitter account called The Bulwark Online. It's called B-U-L-L-W-O-R-K. So I use that to kind of, you know, mock the Never Trumpers, but also I do some parody news entries and such. Last year, I put out a piece. I tried to be as ridiculous as possible. So I said during the height of the California lockdown that Gavin Newsom had people go into grocery stores and confiscating any turkeys greater than 10 pounds, and that they were actually collecting sales receipts for prior sales so they could do bird tracing and find out where gatherings are going to take place. I literally tried to be as stupid as possible, and AP contacts me. Care to comment on this? No. Why? What do I have to comment about? Well, this is being shared all over, and your account on Facebook has thousands of people retweeting this. I say, well, you may want to keep your fact check going because I don't have a Facebook account.
Right.
Fell apart right there. So they kept hounding me out. We need a comment. We need a comment. I said, okay. I don't think readers are that stupid that they don't get the joke.
Yeah.
There's my comment. Yeah. And they actually contacted the governor's office. I mean, they did a full piece on how this was not really taking place. It's just ridiculous the lengths they go to justify their job.
I would say this, you can like screen cap tweets and share them on your Facebook. I see that in my Facebook feed, and especially if it's amusing. So
sure.
But there, this is the other important point, as long as we're talking about fact checkers. It's one of the reasons we really have picked up on this subject, which is, yes, then the social media companies use them to squash articles. And that's certainly true of the funny stuff. And that's so, yes, why would they crack down on jokes about Pete Buttigieg breastfeeding? Because they want to shut it down.
Yeah, that's we just had that happen actually at Red State about a week or two ago. Jeff Charles, one of our writers, put out a blatantly satirical article. Even said at the end of the article, hey, this is satire, guys. And AP contacted us to do the same thing, to verify it. But we got flagged on social media. They, you know, put their little hazy banner in front of the post.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually throttled down our traffic for a time because, oh, they're dispensing fake news. No, we're telling a joke. But I think the overriding purpose to all that is, one, it does stifle traffic for conservative outlets. But two, they can't stand the mockery. They just can't tolerate their side being made fun of.
That's exactly.
And it's just a regular feature. So they are looking as ridiculous as they have for the last few years by fact-checking jokes. You know, and Babylon Bee has been on the receiving end of like no one else. And it's both ridiculous, but it kind of gives away the game at the same time. Because at some point you would think, come on, guys, you look stupid fact-checking a punchline. But if they keep doing it, there has to be a reason behind it. And I think it's because they're trying to tamp down as much of the mockery and derision as possible.
Yeah, I would say this. I will stipulate that you're going to probably find somebody who thinks it's real. But you know what? There's a lot of left-wing garbage out there that people think is real. And they're not as concerned about stopping it. Now, one of the things that's going around, I mentioned to you before the show, what's going around now is that Ted Cruz defended Nazis in the Garland hearing. Anybody who actually watches the video shows, the point he was making to the attorney general was, this is not violent threats. It's not domestic terrorism if somebody does a Nazi salute at the school board. And I think he implied, yes, what the parent was suggesting undoubtedly was that the school board was authoritarian. Not that he's a Nazi or she's a Nazi, but that the school boards are authoritarian. And this is all over Twitter now. Ted Cruz defended the Nazis. And you and I and other people would say, waiting for the fact check on this one.
Yeah, well, one of the amusing side stories on this is that one person that was sharing Ted Cruz supporting Nazis was Ilhan Omar.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, well, if your claim is anywhere near correct, you should be happy about it because he's supporting you. But moving past that, it's a classic example, though, of the, you know, the lie circles the earth before the truth gets its pants on. You got to go through a lot of steps to verify this claim. He was supporting Nazis. No, he, you know, and we have to go through this. He was saying this. It was in reference to the parent. The parent was referencing the school board. He wasn't supporting Nazis himself. And you got to go through four or five layers of clarification to tamp this down. But it's already out there. I did a story on this very issue. AP did a fact check tried to at least, where they claim that the National School Board did not call parents domestic terrorists.
Yeah, that's not true.
You know, and I said, funny, I can look at the letter.
Yeah.
And they called on the president to tamp down on domestic terrorism, to use the Patriot Act, to use the Hate Crimes Act. There were like three or four federal policies they wanted enacted. And then at the end of the letter, they listed what they considered to be domestic terrorism. The guy gave a Nazi salute. One parent recorded our meeting while he was there on camera. Parents are raising their voices and disrupting meetings. This is what they said was domestic terrorism right there in that letter. And AP is saying, no, they didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing.
In black and white.
It's one thing for them to say, which was accurate, that Merrick Garland's four-paragraph memo to the Department of Justice or federal agencies never used the term domestic terrorism. It was, we are going to consult with our state and local partners to assess threats. And so, yes, this is, again, where the fact checkers will jump on how dare... Glenn Kessler, I think, gave the Republicans, like Jim Jordan, four Pinocchios for saying the FBI is going to spy on school board meetings. So the word spy is a four Pinocchio flag, but using the term parents are domestic terrorists, there was no fact check of the NSBA letter. And it's so radioactive now that state school boards are pulling out of the NSBA. The NSBA has sent a letter apologizing for its letter, and yet they're doing that without the fact checkers seemingly ever caring.
Well, that's the thing, is they've already fact checked, so they don't have to do a clarification, which is kind of amazing when you consider what their job is. I mean, we saw one this week where AP got one completely incorrect about Donald Trump tweets provoking violence last year. You know, they tried to timeline it and say that his tweet about looters becoming shooters or something like that was going out to the public and that caused the riots, except there were three or four days of riots before his tweet and they got the date of his tweet incorrect in a fact check.
Yeah.
It's just, well, how do you take them seriously?
We try to be a little bit paranoid here about making sure that our facts are lined up, because when you're a media watchdog, that's the last thing you want people to say, is they might disagree with whether your facts are important, that what you've picked out is important. That, you know, and obviously what they usually say to media watchdogs who cry liberal bias is, well, there shouldn't be balance on that. Everyone should agree with the liberals. And so the conservatives don't get to speak on climate. The conservatives don't get to speak on LGBT. The conservatives have just topics you can't speak at all. That is one of those things. If it's fact checkers, you really want to say to them, you got to get your facts straight. But the AP fact check, when I used to watch it, you know, in 2020, 2019, it was like, almost every single fact check they did was Trump. And so you go in this year and the joke would be, well, I suppose every fact check they do is going to be about Biden. No, they're still heavily into Trump. So I think that also sort of gives away the game. And we made this point about PolitiFact, that PolitiFact had done just hundreds and hundreds of fact checks of Trump, and that's fair. But what they don't do is do the same thing to the Democrats. And so I made this point yesterday that Ron DeSantis keeps getting fact-checked by PolitiFact. And then I said, well, let's go looking. Of course, PolitiFact is Florida-based, so they're especially upset with him. I decided, well, let me look at Ralph Northam. You know, I would say this. Terry McAuliffe is probably one of the more fact-checked guys, which tells you what a hack he is. PolitiFact is kind of gone after both Youngkin and McAuliffe. But Ralph Northam has five fact checks at PolitiFact. Three of them are true or mostly true. There's only one false, and that's, of course, Northam suggesting that it's been confirmed that he wasn't in his yearbook picture. So, okay.
So helpful, that. So
yes.
Helpful.
All right. Well, I wanted to say I had a really important question, which was, Your Twitter handle is Martini Shark, and yet you're wearing a Zima hat.
Well, that's a little bit of an inside joke to my parody account, because I say that it's right at the end. I say parody account sponsored by Zima, which is no longer being made.
Yeah, I was going to say that's pretty obscure joking.
That's, you know, and I just try to plant these little Easter eggs so people can actually say, oh, wait a second. And, you know, it sometimes works, sometimes doesn't.
Well, the problem is you'd say, well, let me explain it to you. I mean, was it in the 80s? Wasn't that pretty much an 80s product?
Yeah, that like late 80s is when it exploded. It hung on until like mid 90s, but then kind of just disappeared. All of a sudden now seltzers are all the rage. So I'm waiting for it to make a comeback. I'm kind of pushing for it myself.
This is where you laugh, because this is when you're old, because you go, well, it was the Crystal Pepsi of beers. And
pretty much.
And then the young people go, what's Crystal Pepsi? And I'm like, Crystal Pepsi was this bad knockoff where they tried to put 7-Up and Pepsi together with no coloring in it. I said the only thing Crystal Pepsi was good for was a hilarious Saturday Night Live parody of Crystal Gravy.
There was a period of time where so many products were going clear. I mean, deodorants and soap and, yeah, because color was bad.
Well, now that would be racist.
Yeah, probably, but I've kind of typecast myself now because I did this just purely as a joke, and then it became kind of entrenched. So, yeah, I ended up getting a Zima hat and some Zima pens just to go with it. Now, every time I go out, I make friends. Holy cow, Zima, I've seen that forever. Love it. And yeah, so I can instantly assume myself into a crowd that way.
Well,
just by mocking things.
So, Brad, you are, they can see you at Town Hall, at Red State. And then what was the Twitter account, the satire? Martini Shark is the real one.
Right. And my satire account is The Bulwark Online, BullWork.
That's terrific. Well, I'm always amused to make fun of those people because they really are incapable. They're very humorless people. They're incapable of self-analysis. Thank you, Brad. Thank you for sharing.
Sure. Had a great time. Appreciate being on, Tim.
You betcha.
We'll be sharing each other's work going forward, I'm sure.
I am sure. So come to Newsbusters once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for listening.